Okay, we're Mizmor in Mizmor Samach. Mizmor Samach 60, page 522, Pasik Gimel. Okay, Pasik Gimel says, L'kim zirachtanu firatztanu anafta tishoyvev lon. Okay, those are some hard words there. The word zirachtanu means you have rejected us. The word piratztanu means a breach. Anafta means to get angry. Tishoyvev Landu is a request, please return to us. Let's look at the Mitzudais Tzion first. Tzion. Zinachtanu means to abandon. Azavtanu. Piratztanu miloshon pirza, a breach. Anavta miloshon afochema, anger. Tishoyvev inyan hanocha vahashket. Okay, I told you means to return. He says no, it means to calm down. Calm down, chill out. Take five. Go for a walk. Take a cigarette.
It means abandon?
The word zanachtanu, zanach, means to abandon.
It means rejected.
Oh, good, okay. To reject, you're saying good. Okay, so obviously, you know, the words are related and there's a different flavor depending on the context. Let's look over here at the Mitzudos David. Piratztanu return to Leimar. Kmo ir shenifratz choymosam, oz boim l'soycha mikol ruach. When the wall of the city is breached, the enemy penetrates from all sides. Kein bo hamucham aleinu mikol tzar. So here it was saying that the enemy has attacked us from all sides. David over here is referring over here to the Maisa of Aram. Aram, Naharayim, Aram Tzoyva, and Edom. We are discussing over here three nations that David is going to battle. And he's saying over here, the enemy over here, they're coming to attack us from all sides. Now if you're dealing over here with three different nations, Aram, Naharayim, Aram Tzoyva, and Edom, indeed, there's a multi, you're being attacked. There is a lot of things going on at the same time that it's hard to deal with. Onafta, hine arata ko'asta leinu biata hamid oisonu b'chashkir v'nuchu. This is a request he's following through. You're angry. Obviously, the fact that we are under attack, a multi-pronged attack, obviously, we're doing something wrong. Obviously, you're trying to send us a message. We should do teshuva. You're angry at us, and we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachmanis and to forgive us. Okay, let's read a few more pesukim together. Pasuk Dalet, Hirashta Eretz, the earth has quaked. Like the word Hirashta means like a rash, Vatisaeni Ruach Voeshma Acharai Koil Rahash Godol, a large roar, a large commotion. Eretz, Hirashta Eretz, Pitsamta. Now, what's the word Pitsamta? Pitsamta is it as cracked. There's a crack. Like Rachel always tells me, we're waiting for that day when, we're waiting for that every nine, and Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Rachel always says, we're waiting for that day when California, you know, it's on a fault line. The crack happens, and California just drifts out into the Pacific and disappears. Am I saying correct?
Yeah, they keep saying it, it'll happen one day.
So they're waiting for it to happen right away.
In California.
No, the whole California should just.
Everybody's buying beachfront property, I don't know. Right. No joke.
So there's a crack in the earth, Pitsamta Rifa Shivareha. Rifa means to loosen its broken pieces. Ki moto, it has faltered, it has tilted. Now, what is that? Milk means the zavit. Pasik dalit. Hirashta hine hirashta artzenu. Now, unfortunately, David over here is referring to Eretz Yisrael. He's saying that due to the fact that we have so many difficulties that we are under attack, the goyim are attacking us. It's as if the land that you have caused the land to quake. There's like an earthquake, and uvokato oisa, the consequence of the earth shaking, causes a section of the land to break off. Uvokato oisa, ata refono shivareha, now heal its broken pieces. He's learning over the word refa means to heal its broken pieces. Kinoto leofar betachlis hashivlis, because it has tilted. It has reached a level that is already rock bottom. So the common denominator, both these psukim and pasuk, the way the mitzvahs of learning gimel and dalet, both of them start off with a statement of fact, a very desperate matzav, and it concludes with a bakosha for Hashem to have rachmanis. Pasuk gimel starts off with lekim zenachtanu peratztanu anafta, and then the last two words are tishayvev lanu, Hashem have rachmanis, calm down, don't be so angry. Pasuk dalet. Here, Ashto Eretz, the earth has quaked, Pitsamta, and it has broken off. It has shaken, and due to the constant shaking, there has been a portion of the earth has now broken off. And then we conclude, Hashem, heal the broken pieces. Heal us. Refor Shivareha. We ask and make a request. Heal the broken pieces. Ki Mata. Mata means to tilt. And in this context, it means that we have reached a point that there's nowhere to go. We have reached the lowest mass, we're in a desperate state. We have fallen, we have tilted, or the Eretz Yisrael has tilted to a point where it's no longer sustainable. Okay, let's do another. Okay, so we discussed that when we began the Mizmar. So he presents here three different nuschos, and we said that we're pretty much going to just focus on the main girsa, because the main girsa pretty much includes everything. The other girsos are more or less missing what it says in the top girsa on the top. There are a little few things here and there. The differences are very 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 minor. So we're not gonna. I got very excited when I saw this, and I thought we were going to spend a lot of time on this. And then I started going through, and I saw that there's almost the differences are so minor, and in fact, it's
the top one,
because the other ones, they pretty much whatever's on the top, it's including the other two. The other two are missing. There is one or two things that it says on the bottom that it doesn't say on the top. Maybe we'll figure it out. We'll go through, but it's pretty much the same. It's not. We're not going to dwell upon the differences. Okay, one more pasuk. Pasuk. Now, hey, here isa amcha, you isa amcha kosha. Hishkisanu yayin tar elon. Now the yayin tar elon is a big topic. Okay, tar elon is poison. Okay, the wine of poison to give. We have this a lot in Yeshaya that Hashem will eventually give the umay soilam the kois hatar elon, the cup of poison.
Remember my translation?
I forgot.
The toxic cups.
The toxic cups.
Because I don't say this necessarily means that they're deadly.
How many times does it say Kaisa Tarilant?
Four.
There are four Kais there, the corresponding, and someone learned the Dalit Kaisais. Our Dalit Kais on Pesach correspond to the four cups of toxic cups that the Umay Sa'olam will drink. It's like in the Yitzias Mitzvah, every Makkah for Egypt was healing. Was a blessing for the Jewish people. It wasn't just it was a makkah for Egypt. With the makkah that came to Egypt, there was a refuah for Klal Yisrael. So when we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know, we have Shvei Chamoscha. There's a parallel. Every time we drink a cup of yayin as a bracha, it correlates to the cup of poison that the goyim are now going to drink for what they've done to us. There's this correlation between the kois hatarela and a kois shel beracha. Kois shel beracha, over here it mentions this over here. The whole story of Purim is all built upon this as well. Purim was a mishtayayin. And the mishtayayin that for us turned out a mishtayayin, for them was a Haman, Amalek, it was their Chorban. So here we mentioned upon this also this thing over here called Hishkisanu Yain Tarela. And let's look over the Mitzudas David. Mitzudas seen first these difficult words, but let's see Mitzudas David. Pasuk Hey, here Isa Ad Hena until that's on page 522. Ad Hena 522 in the Mitzudas David. Ad Hena until now. Here Isa Liamcha Nefila Kosha. Until this moment in time, you have shown the Jewish people a very intense fall. V'hishkisonu yayin tarela. Hamitamtem es halev l'roya tuchunosoy. Poison, it's toxic. It damages the heart. L'roya tuchunosoy due to the toxicity in this cup, the heart is affected. And this is a metaphor for the difficult tzaros that Klal Yisrael is enduring. So over here, David is reflecting here, Is Amcha Kosher, you have shown your Jewish people kosher difficult times. Hishkisanu, you have given us to drink the Kois HaTarelu, you have given us to drink poison. Let's do another part. Now this is a very famous pasuk Vav, Nasata Li Re'echa, Nes Lehis Noises. Nidnei koishet sela. Now the word sela is an end of a section, which we're going to stop with that point and then go discuss the mefarshim. But let's first see the mitzudos tzion. I left it over here, the tareila. Miloshen orel v'otum kumo areila ozdan. That's a very interesting translation. Right. Anyway, now it doesn't take away from the pshat that it means poison, but an orel. Why is the word, it's a borrowed term, why is the kois hatarel, why is poison called orel, arela? Because it comes from the word of an orel. A goy is called an orel. He is closed. He has not removed his circumcision. His heart is closed. His mind is closed. He is an orlas bosar. So we use that when a person's mind is closed and everything is closed, that is equivalent to being cursed. It's poison. It's poison not to be receptive to ideas, to communication, when a person closes himself out from the world, that is in essence a curse. That's poison. And that's why these words are definitely related. Okay, the next pasuk, let's see the Mitzvot David. Let's first look over here what it says in the Mitzvot Tzion in the word of Pasuk Vav. Nasata kmo titain, fine. Okay, nes lehis noises miloshein a pole, flag pole, a banner. Fine, nes a banner. Uchiloinas, chiloinas is a pole, a flag pole. Vuinyan harama means elevation. Vehagba kanes hagavoa, like a banner that is raised up high. Koshet inyan ms, k ms is kushta, kushta Aramaic word. If you make it over here, kushta v'samim, k'moy kusht imrei emes, an expression which is a play on the word, which means it means truth, pure truth. So what is Pasuk Vav saying? Is that you have given, although that you have given us, you have shown us, although you have shown us horrors in this world, yet you have given those who fear you a miracle, a banner to elevate themselves, because of MS. Look at the Mitzudos David, past page on page 524. Chodesh Nisan, very true. Chodesh of Nisim. B'Nisim Nigalu v'Nisim Asim Nigal. Look at the Mitzudos David on page 524 in Nosata. Me'ata titin li'echa. This, according to the Mitzudos, is a request. Please Hashem grant. Me'ata titin li'echa harama. Elevation lehisraimim ba'olam, give Klal Yisrael some pride. Okay, elevate them in this world. Mibnei because of koishet sela ba'avur la'ameis la'olam divarech, in order to show truth to your words. You made promises. Shemaratu lehoishiv amcha b'shalom alad mosam. It's like what it says in the Rashi in Parashas Vo'era. Vo'eril Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov b'kel Shakai u'shmi Hashem loy noidati lohem. Rashi, u'shmi Hashem, the name of Yudkei Vavkei, the midah of Amitis, the shmi of Amitis, of truth. I have not made known to them, I granted them promises, but they never lived to see the fulfillment of those promises, which is emes. And that's exactly what it says, v'nei koshet sela, you promised Hashem, you have made promises to the Jewish people, and if we're going to suffer and be down for the count, then the promises are never going to come true, and it's going to be a chil Hashem. Therefore, elevate the Jewish people in order to bring truth, MS, to the promises that you have made. Okay, so let's review this. Basically, a pattern over here going on in these psukim. And these sugim, basically, it's descriptive. Each pasuk has a certain style, how the pasukim are presented according to the mitzvahs David, where we learn over here, I think today, four pasukim. One, two, three, four pasukim. And all four pasukim are basically in the same sort of style, we are mentioning facts of our lowliness and our suffering, and then we conclude, it's interspersed with a request. Do not allow this to continue. Put an end. So we'll read very quickly one more time. Pasuk Gimel, Elokim, Zinachtanu. From our perspective, it appears that you have rejected us. You have abandoned us. Piratztanu. You have opened up breaches in Klal Yisrael. Onafta. You have displayed anger against your people. Period. Hashem, enough. Time to calm down. Tishoyvev lanu, calm down. We ask Hashem to rest. Tishoyvev means to, as the Mitzvah says, you say return to, I thought it meant to return to us. The Mitzvah more says restore, but the Mitzvah says more of an expression of Hashem, you're angry. Take a deep breath. Time out. Time out. Let's have some time out. Go outside, have a cup of coffee. Relax. And let's we will reconvene. We will reconvene after you cool off. Pasuk Dalid, we repeat the same exact theme in other words. It's a two-way street. You and Echanami. Next, Hir Ashta Eretz, okay, Pasuk Dalid, you have caused the earth to quake. And the consequences are Pitsamta, it has cracked. The shaking of the earth, it caused the earth to crack. And now, period. And now again, we make a request.
Are we talking about a natural earthquake, or are we talking about the shake-up of a major war?
I don't know the answer. I think probably there were earthquakes in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah,
we know, and not really. It seems more that from the context that we're dealing with wars. We're under attack, so therefore it's just a metaphor. It's a metaphor that everyone in the Jewish people is shaken. We're all shaken to the core, and there is a split. There is a breach. You know, you want to go talk about like this today in the modern times, how the country, Eretz Yisrael, is so divided. The division between the religious and the irreligious, it's like Mamisha, the Atlantic Ocean. How the it's a very sad state of affairs. Okay, the division. I don't know why there's something that's very important to realize with Eretz Yisrael that you can't draw to any comparison to any other country, is that one in four children, right now, this moment in time, what I've read in the newspaper, 13% of Eretz Yisrael right now is religious, what we call Orthodox. It's like, you know, significantly, everyone is religious. I shouldn't say everyone, you know, is Makar, Rebbeinu Shel Olam.
13%
of...
How did the majority of the country vote for religious parties?
Because, good, Samir, I don't know. I don't know all the problem, but 13%.
13%?
That's all.
13% what?
Of the citizens in the state of Israel are what they call Haredi. What does Haredi mean? I don't know what that means. Here's the big thing, the big number that is really mind-boggling, and this is really what it's all about, is 24% of children in the country are Haredi, are religious, are very religious. One in four children in the state of Israel you would have no problem eating in their home when they grow up. Now, that what does that tell you? What the nature of the makeup of the country in 20 years from now? It's going to be a very, very religious country.
That's what's scaring them.
So therefore, a lot of people say...
The New York Times made a statement and said that 60% of the officers in the army now are Orthodox.
60%.
Are old yeshiva boys.
One in four children. The irreligious are not having children. They're not having big families. The religious, Baruch Hashem, they have Kanai and Har, they have a lot of children. One in four children in the state of Israel, to 24%, which is basically one in four, are very religious. What exactly that means, I don't know what it means, but they're very religious. And Mimela, many people say, if the court system it was good enough for the last 75 years, so just, what are you making trouble? What do you have to make a war? From 10 years from now, naturally it will just implode, because if one in four children today are religious, it's just a matter of time. In this country, you can't say that, because in this country, I don't know what the statistics are of children in this country. I don't know what the statistics are. The war on children's what?
The birth rate has fallen sharply in the last few years.
By the irreligious in this country.
No.
By everyone. Period.
Overall.
So in this country, it's a different story.
It wasn't that long ago that Israel and the U.S. were the only civilized countries whose birth rate was above the replacement rate. But now the U.S. has dropped.
Right.
Israel has not, except in the Arab sector.
So that is a very critical factor. Okay, going back to our pasuk, here it's the pasuk that they hear Ashta Eretz and Pitzamta. The earth has quaked and has cracked. When there's a crack, there is a division. What does that mean? Does that mean over here because there's a division because our enemies are coming to attack us from outside? Or maybe over here is referring over here to this internal strife. There is division within Klal Yisrael itself. The first pasuk told us Elokim zenachta paratz tanu anafta. Maybe that's no enemies from without. And pasuk Dalet is talking about that the earth itself has cracked, has quaked, and there is a split. There is a split. Maybe over here it's alluding to a division within a schism. There's a division within Klal Yisrael how to proceed. We know that during the time of the Bayis Chorim Bayis Sheni, the Klal Yisrael was divided into three groups. The Biryonim, and the Prushim, and who was the third group? I forgot all my history already. The Stokim. There were three groups. There were three groups as to how to proceed and deal with Nebuchadnezzar. Not Nebuchadnezzar. What am I saying? How to deal with Rome? How to deal with the Caesar? To deal with Rome that was trying to destroy Klal Yisrael. Three different. Some want, let's go fight. Let's negotiate. Or let's just stick it out, do nothing. Three different groups. So over here, there's a major division. Maybe over here, this mism over here is telling over here that when there are problems on the outside, there are problems on the inside. Exactly how to deal with our enemy, with ourselves.
We'd be talking about a future event, right?
No. Maybe then also. Maybe we don't.
We have something in Sefer Shmuel that records. Such an event?
Well, obviously, yes. The Pshuta Shol Mikro Lamatzech Al Shushna Idus Michtam Ludovid Lelameid is dealing with Behat Soysay Es Adam Naharayim Yes Adam So Vayoshev Yoav. We're dealing with an event, Shmuel Beis Perikhes, where David went to war against Aram Naharayim. I don't know. I didn't review it very superficially. I looked it over. I didn't look in the Farshim, but I'm sure you can read into Maise Avoy Simin Labanim. Maybe there was. L'chore there was. You can certainly, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Today in Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by enemies. All different types of enemies. Wherever you go, they have enemies from the outside. And within, it's imploding with Sinas Chinam. And you read the news, it's like on the verge of civil war. So you have enemies from on the out, enemies from within. And is there a correlation? Is there a frustration which one feeds off the other? I'm sure there is to some degree. And if you want to read these psukim here, it seems to be saying exactly that. Over here, we are describing an historical event. But every historical event is certainly a prophecy, is Maise Avoy Simin Labanim for the future. We mentioned over here three nations, Aram Naharayim. Aram Tsoiva, and Edom. Today, who's around the Harayim? You would say around the Harayim is basically Iran. Is that fair to say that it's Iran? It's right along the edge of Iraq in that area. Okay, Iraq is commonly associated with Bavel, which is around the Harayim to some degree. Okay, and then yeah, you're dealing along the edge. You're dealing with Iran. Aram Tsoiva is Syria. Okay, you're dealing with a whole new Hevra, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Syria, our enemies up north, and you're dealing with Edom. You're dealing with the United States making trouble for us. The United States, the administration that we currently have, is not in favor of, is very, very disturbed with the results of the election. That's out open in the news. They're going out of their mind. They were very disappointed how the woke philosophy is not playing out in Eretz Yisrael. A right-wing government is not going to give in to all these shagasim. So you see over here, I always tell people, take out Jewish press. Jewish press from 30 years ago. Try to get a hold of the Jewish press, an article on the front cover of the Jewish press from 30 years ago. And read it and give it to someone. They'll tell you, yeah, that's what's going on today. Then take off the date and make believe it was written today. Take the front cover of the Jewish press from 30 years ago describing the situation in Eretz Yisrael regarding, the Arabs and Syria and Egypt and Iran, Iraq, Chvesnish and America, and just take off the date and read it. Guarantee you will think you're reading about current events today. It's all the same. Nothing changes. 30 years ago, it's amazing. Try this experiment. You'll be blown away. Blown away. Someone wrote this up. You'll be blown away. And you show it to someone, yeah, this is what's happening today with Syria or Egypt and Iran. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in 30 years. So the same way in our own, we can say that nothing has changed in 30 years in our own lifetime. The truth is what was going on at the time of David, it's all the same. The only difference is the way it's recorded and the way things played out is sacred. It's sacred with Ruach HaKodesh, and it's Maise of a similar bonim. And we really would study and delve deep into what it says here. There would be lessons that would be learned that we can use them to deal with the situation we have today and not allow it to escalate and get totally out of hand. So we have over here an historical event that's in Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel-based Parakhes, and it's describing certain things, but the truth is, it's really prophecy for what's going on today. And we have over here, we know that today as the fact that we have difficulties from external enemies, and we have bigger problems within our own people. And you read this pasuk, wow, look what it says over here. It says over here, we read over here two psukim so far. The first pasuk describes our external enemies. It says, Elokim, zinachtanu. It seems like you abandon us. We're under attack. We're in the crosshairs of all of our enemies. They keep on telling us, Iran and this go down, they're going to obliterate us. They're going to wipe us off the face of the earth. Piratstanu, there are breaches in our defense systems. On NAFTA, it appears that you're angry at us, because how could we live in a state of fear? And we make a request to Shoivev Lanu Hashem, calm down, or return to us. Pasuk Dalet, let's discuss domestic policy, domestic issues. Here, Ashta Eretz, the earth itself is shaking. This violence, there's this civil war. Pitsamta, Mitzvahs, there are cracks, there are bekiyos, there are divisions amongst Klal Yisrael, amongst groups in Klal Yisrael that are so deep and so far apart that this is the domestic issues that you have to deal with. And what do we say to Hashem? Hashem, we need a good doctor. Maybe you know someone. Maybe you can recommend a good doctor. Refah shivareha. Maybe you can heal us. You can find a good doctor, heal our internal wounds. Ki mata. Because we have fallen. We have tilted. We have reached a situation where we can no longer be functional. We're dysfunctional in the current matzav. Maybe you could recommend a good doctor. So yeah, His name is Moshiach. That's the doctor. Then we conclude, Pasuk Hey, here is, this is like a general conclusion. After everything is said and done, after focusing on the threat from without and the threat from within, the bottom line is, here is Amcha Kosha. You have shown the Jewish people difficulty. You've shown us hard times. Hishkisanu yayin tarela. You've given us to drink toxicity, the toxic cup, poison. Okay, terrorist attacks. Here we go see every king what's going on with these crazy terrorist attacks. Rahman al-Islam, you see these horrific things on the news. And Hashem, you've shown us these difficult times, and the only thing we can do at the very end is Bimavakesh Rachamim Nosata Liriacha. Now, according to the Mitzvah, it's really in the future tense, even though it was written in the past tense. He has somehow the Mitzvah is David. I mean, this is very bold what he's doing. He's taking a word that's clearly written in the past tense, and he, without any embarrassment, without any shame, totally translates it in the future tense. I mean, come on, if you were in Yeshiva Katana and you would do this, you would get a very low grade on your exam. And he has no embarrassment to do this. He writes in the Sata, Me'ata! So going forward, titain. Excuse me, how did you go from the word Nosata Lirayacha? How did you pull it over our eyes and just translate the word in the past tense to the future tense? May you going forward grant Lirayacha to those who fear you, Nes Lehis Noises, a beautiful expression, a banner, a flag to rise up, to raise themselves. And those give us the tools, a method, a solution to where we can pull ourselves out of the mud. Give us a solution so that we can raise ourselves high and not be stuck, in order to fulfill Mipnei Koshet Sela, to fulfill your promises, to show the world that you are Emes. You made promises to the Jewish people. The Bible says it all. It's all there, all the brachas. And look where we are now, where we're surrounded in a world of 8 billion people who don't like us, and we're only 15 million people. And we beg of you, Hashem, in order to be ma'ames, your words, to go and bring some solution. Okay, that's the Mitzudos David. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, going back on page 522, past the Gimel. Zenachtanu, Feratztanu, Kishenafla, Edom, Biyodat. Again, in the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Rashi over here is going back to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, going back to the beginning of the Mizmar, discussing the story in Shmuel Beis, Perikhes, of where David went to war primarily against the nation of Aram Naharaim. Aram Naharaim was making trouble for the Jewish people at this point in time, and he went to war, and part of his technique, instead of battling them, was a diversion and have them go to war with Aram Tzoiva. And then Rashi tells us, we learn Rashi, is that in part of this battle, who's joined the battle that wasn't theirs? Edom. Edom decided, let's join the war. Let's be part of this war. So it says over here, you know, it's like today, yeah, Russia and Ukraine. So who's joining the war? You know, the UK sends them some fighter jets, the United States gives them $100 billion, and this country sends them the drones, and this one, everyone likes to get involved, everyone likes to throw in their hat to participate. It's exactly what it says over here. There's a fight against Klal Yisrael, primarily against Aram Naharaim, and who throws in their hat into the war? We have Aram Tzoiva, and we have an Edom. They all get involved. So Rashi over here is supposed to Gimel Zanach, Zanach Tonu, Peratzanu, Kishanofla, Edom, Biyodoi, Tzofa, and this is where Medrash, Rashi, Tzofa, at the end of this war, well, this answers your question to a certain degree, at least according to Rashi, at the end of this war, after David was successful in defeating Yoav, defeating all these nations, the Kishanofla Edom Biyodoi Tzofa Beruch HaKodesh, She'asidim roimiyim limshol biyishol. The day will come when the Romans will rule over the Jewish people, which can be basically 1,000 years later. Okay, 1,000 years later, because over here the Bayis Rishon was not yet built, and the Bayis Sheni wasn't built, and 70 years in the middle, it's 900 years. Okay, that's basically 900 years, at least 900 years later, the Romans are going to destroy the Bais Sheni. And before they destroyed the Bais Sheni, they already took control of the Bais Sheni already about at least 100 years before they destroyed it. Okay, the Romans, they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were in total control for the last 100 years. Okay, terrible gezeros. And after the Churban, there was Shmad. There was terrible years of Shmad, at least 52 years of Shmad, not more. The Asara, Haruge Malchus. That was probably the worst time in the Jewish history, I would imagine. If you would ask a person, an historian, what was the worst time in Jewish history? I mean, it's all, you know, how do you call it worse? Okay, but
there's a lot of competition.
There's a lot of competition. Nazi Germany, was that the worst time? Maybe it was. Maybe that was that even worse? Who knows? Who's to say? We don't have a videotape of what went on then. But certainly Chazal's description of the aftermath of the Churban Bayis Sheni, Beitar, and the Asara Haruge Malchus, okay, the Churban of Beitar was just horrific.
Mitzrayim,
you're right. Okay, you're right. You really can't judge. You can't judge. Every tekufa has its own horrific elements. But he saw Alpi Ruach Hakodesh Shash Sidim Roimiyim. I'm surprised this has not been censored. Rabbi Chol, you don't have a censored version. Probably go look over here in the other Gear source Keshavu Edam Sabi Ruach Hakodesh Sidim Roimiyim. No, over here, what does it say? The other one it says. Here, but Tzar Saval Be'ashayftim. No, it does. I don't see it over here. And the other one, they say Romim. Okay, maybe we'll look at the other gears in the moment. But right now, let's talk about gears. Shasidim Romim Limshol B'Yisrael. The Ligzar B'Yisrael Gezero Yisrael Amad Ubike Shrachamim. That's a good melech. He sees Ruach HaKodesh. What's going to happen is Mevakesh Shrachamim Al Shibut HaGolus Harbe Tzaroi Saval B'Mei HaGolus Me'Oivenu Saviv. Anafta, you katsafta aleinu, you have been angry, me'ata, and therefore, from going forward, tishayvev, ritsoincha aleinu. Tishayvev, I guess, means to rest or return. Mitzvah says it means to calm down. Tishayvev means like to shav, to return. Bring, restore upon us your good will. Pasuk Dalid, here Ashta. This happened already, but we're now living in times of Mashiach. Halavai. Okay, we're still going through difficult times. Klalke. Here, Ashta Artseinu Bekamo Giyoseh. So, here, Ashta, the earth quaked. How did it quake? Under attack. It's under attack with many armies, many battalions, many different nations have sent armies to attack us. Pitsamta Shibarta Oisa. You have broken the land. V'ra'isi B'divrei Dunash. The words of Dunash, Shehu Loshoin Aravidis. Again, Dunash, Menachem, and Rashi. Pardon the expression, they should forgive me, the three musketeers. It's not a nice thing, I'll get my head chopped off for saying that. But the Kedosh Elyon, Kadosh, 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 the three holy ones, Rashi, Dunash, and Menachem, I've seen in the Divrei Dunash, Shehu Loshoin Aravi, this word of Pitsamta is Aravi, is Aramaic. Is that Aramaic? Aravi is not Aramaic. What is Arabic. This Arabic, Aramaic, Aramis, Aravi, and Ivri. These are the three languages that go together. Three languages that have a connection. Ivri, which is basically Lashon Kodesh, basically not 100% Ivri, Avram or Ivri, and Arami, which is Aramaic, and Aravi, different, is Arabic. There is an overlap between these three distinct languages, Aravi, Ivri, and Arami, with a mem, Arami. So here is Lashon Ivri, Lashon Aravi, which is Arabic. Avaloi Peirash Oisoi, Dunash did not explain what he meant. Uvi Soidoi Shal Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan Perishoi Lashon Kiriya. Now Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, who's Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan? What time did he live? Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan is not this is the same time. I never even thought about it. You have this in Chumash.
Before Rashi?
So, but it's not. It's not. This. This is not a. This is not a Tana, right? Moshe Darshan is a time of what, the Goinim. I'm a little bit confused about Moshe Darshan. Moshe Darshan is the same time as Rashi, a little bit before Rashi. Okay, let's assume that. So really, there's four. If that's really true, then the main thing is there are really four. Rashi quotes Moshe Darshan in Chumash every so often, I think. Yeah. So then it comes out there are really four. There is Menachem, Dunash, Rashi, and Rav Moshe Darshan. And besides, Targum is a different league. Targum is, you know, Targum goes back before Rashi from Sinai. So that's a whole different league, totally. But I think you're right, then there'll be really four. I didn't really appreciate that. There are four different major commentators presented in the words of Rashi and Chumash and Rashi here as well. So Rishul Mishnah Darshan Perishaloshan Kriya, it means to cut, like Kriyas Yamsuf. It never says anywhere in Chumash Kriyas Yamsuf. It says Vayibok'u Hamoyim. Vayibok'u, the water split. We invented this term. I came from somewhere. Kriyas Yamsuf. What are you talking about? Where does it say Kriyas? Where does it say the word Kriya? Where? Show me. Does it say it anywhere in Tehillim even? Anywhere in Tanakh? I don't think it says anywhere in Tanakh this term Kriyas Yamsuf. It says Vayibok'u Hamoyim. Bikiyas Yamsuf. There was a Bikiya. The term Kriya doesn't exist. But over here it says the word Kriya. Notice that the Mitzudoi said Bikiya. Rashi quotes B'Shem and Moshe Hadarshan the word Kriya as the translation, whereas the Mitzudoi said it's the word Bikiya. We use those two words, we interchange. Obviously, we interchange those two words very often. Uro'oyehevi ledavar v'koralo chalonoi. Okay? I don't know what that pasuk means, but Miturgam ufotzim. There means to split, chaloinoi, and there means upotze means to split. Ach, ani oimer, Rashi disagrees, ufa, same, shetirgim yonison loshon tikun chaloin. Okay, chaloini means windows, karloi means you fashioned windows. Sorry? I'm not sure someone's talking about something. Okay, so it's the word ufatzim shetigim yonesim l'shoin tikun chaloin. Okay, the word over there means v'karloi chalonoi. In that context, they're making windows.
You cut out of the wall.
Not like we do today. Today they don't cut out. Today you build the chatchil of the windows. In ancient times, they built a wall, and after the wall was built, then you go and you cut out a hole in the middle. How do you make a window? What?
That's how they build a building. You build a straight wall. And then
today, everything's the computer. Today, the frame has the window already pre-made. When they put up a wall today.
They cut it out. They build a wall.
Yeah.
And then they cut out.
No, they don't.
They do it that way. Sometimes they do it the other way.
Then they pop it in.
They make a frame. They make the facade of a building. They don't cut anything out. They lechatchila. Everything is pre. Maybe on a piece of sheetrock. When you put on a piece of sheetrock and you have an outlet. So you put a piece of sheetrock and then you go and you cut out the outlet. But today in the construction there's no such thing. When they put out buildings, they leave the space open. But here this is Vikara. It's interesting, different technique of construction. You build a wall and then you cut out a window. Vikara lechalone miturgum ufatzim. Ach, ani omer no ufatzim tishigim yonasim loshim tikun mechalone hu kichu b'chol ha-pesachim sheyesh lehem pitzimim, which means posts. Which means a post. So what is he trying to say over here? It means not tikun chaloin hu. It's a tikun chaloin kichol hapesachim sheyeshem pitzim. And a pitzim means a post.
Well, it says door frames.
A frame. Right. Okay. So then, what does the pasuk mean over here? To go back.
Construction of a window as all the entrances that have door frames pitzim.
So then we'll go back to the past. Pasuk says here, Ashta Eretz. Okay. Pitzamta. So the word stands on its own. Either it means, according to the first interpretation, Rashi says, you broke it. Shavira. To break it. That's a different word entirely. To break it. Then he presents Dunash, which it's an Aramaic word, but doesn't explain what it is. And then he... Aramaic.
Yes, Arabic.
I'm sorry, Arabic. It was an Arabic word.
The first one was Yeah, Arabic.
Arabic. And then so what is the Arabic word? So he found what it means. It means to cut, to slice out, to cut, to break. And that, not to break. Be careful.
I don't
English.
Understand how this is Arabic, because the Arabs don't, Arabic does not have the letter pay.
I don't know.
It has the letter, but they don't pronounce it.
No.
They pronounce it pay.
No.
Then I don't know what this is. What does it mean over here in this third interpretation from Moshe Hadarshan? Moshe Hadarshan, he says, it means. Wait, first he quotes Moshe Hadarshan. Moshe Hadarshan explained the Arabic word to mean to cut out. To mean the Kriya. Then he doesn't like it. Rashi says, he quotes Targum Yoinasan, which means it means Pitsimim. Shatirgim Yonasan Lushoin Tikun Chaloin Hu. Shatikun Chaloin Hu Kichol HaPesachim Sheyesh Lachem Patsimim. A frame. It's not a cut. But rather it means a frame. So how does that fit into the pasuk? The pasuk says here, Ashta Eretz. The earth has quaked because we're under attack by many battalions, many armies. Then Pitzamta. So look at all the different, we have a whole selection of words over here. We have the Kia, crack, Mitzudas. We have Rashi, Shavira, to break. We have the word Korea, three words which now vocabulary really are all the same. Okay? Three, all the same. And then number four, it means pitsimin. What does that mean? So maybe what it means is that, maybe perhaps what it means is that the goyim officially Royevsky.
He lived right before Rashi.
He lived right before Rav Moshe Hadarshan. Excellent. So it's interesting. That's like doing this part of this team. Four of the major parashanim. Very interesting. Okay, but going back over here, I think what it means over here is that it's one thing when an enemy comes into the country and destroys it. It's another thing where they take over. They take over the country. They they take over. A pitsim means it's a tikun chaloin, a tikun pesach. The enemy doesn't want to just sack the whole city and obliterate and nuke it. What do you get out of it? What is Putin trying to do to Ukraine? To totally destroy it? No. He wants to take over. I want you to be citizens, and I want you to pay taxes. And I want you to join me, and I'm gonna draft from your people into my army, and you're going to be part. I will install in your cities my governors, my mayors, my people. He did that already in some of the cities. The goal is not to go and send nukes and nuke the whole place. What do you get out of that? The goal is good stuff. Exactly. There are resources. There are valuable resources. And we need a functional society. So I am going to come in there. I'm going to set up shop. When you go and you build a house, you build door frames and you build window frames in order that it should be functional. I can walk in, I can walk out, I can open the window, close the window. So here, Ashta Eretz, you have caused the land to quake by having us surrounded by our enemies. Pitsamta, which I'm suggesting, according to what Raj is saying, is they have taken over. The Goyim have not just destroyed the land. That we're the boss now, we're in charge. We have set up, we put up our doors, our locks, we've appointed our people in government to run this country. We have put up pitsimim, kichol ha-pesachim sheyesh lahem patim, tikun chaloinu. It is not a destructive act. It is a creative act. It is an act of tikun. It's a tikun for them, not for us. By them taking over and establishing themselves as the new balabayas, there's a new boss in town. There's a new flag on top of the building. We have our people running the government. We pointed to all the infrastructure is going to continue the way it is, but are under our control, and all the tax money will go to us. So it comes out, if that is correct, we have four translations for the word pitsamta. either, again, according to the Mitzudas, it means Bekia. According to Rashi's first interpretation, it means Shavira. According to Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, explaining Dunash, it means Kriya, which would then make what the Mitzudas David said and what Dunash is saying is basically is the same. And then he quotes Vani Oimer from Targum Yonason, Tikun Chaloyim. They're making enhancements, an enhancement for them, which is not an enhancement for us. And for us, it's a very sad state of affairs when someone comes into your house and says, I'm in charge now. I'm the balabas over here. The government sends someone, we're the parents here. We're going to tell you what to do, what kind of education to give your children. We're going to tell you what to eat, and we're going to tell you where you can go, where you can't go. We're the boss. We are in charge. Tikun, the slush of Tikun Chaloinhu, they are now coming to take over. That's what it appears to some degree is being said over here in this Rashi. Okay, in the Kimata, the list, we'll go for the next. Now we make a request, Rashi. Refa Shivarecha Kimata, Lashon Refua. Over here, David is begging Hashem, heal, bring healing. V'yafal pishakasa behei. Oh, why is there a hey? The word Refua should conclude with an aleph. So why is there a hey? Tahar bei teves misham shoskei. In other words, don't confuse me with the facts. I'm going to say what I want to say. Don't chat me on TikTok. Maskil. Chat me on TikTok. No, just because it says it with it, don't chat me over here. See, everyone over here, they break the rules such. If you go and you're sitting in class in yeshiva and you go and you spell the word refuah with a hey, get an F. Mitzudas David, it says nosata, it means the future tense. They get away with this. The mefarshim get away with this. They break all the rules and they get away with this. Okay, let's see over here. By the way, let's see over here. It's over here in the sifsi is the kainim refuah with a hey tumuras aleph isyos aleph hey vav yud mischalfin. Can be exchanged every so often. Okay, v'shinu b'v'yirmi. Okay, let's leave it with that. Now let's take a look over here. Okay, the next Rashi. Rashi says refuah shavirah kimata. The ready kimata. L'shoyn shiflus, we have reached a low. Next pasuk, pasuk on the next page. David continues, you have given us to drink from the yayin tar eila. Now, Michal, when it talks about the cups of poison, the kois ha tar eila, does it say the word yayin in those psukim in Yeshaya, where they mention the kois ha tar eila? I don't recall it having the word yayin. Here, it says, again, but that was a staple.
He has an interesting translation.
Yeah.
Wine of bewilderment.
Wine of bewilderment. Yeah, okay, that's from Rashi. That's really what Rashi is saying.
See, that's what I'm saying. It may be deadly or not.
Uh-huh.
That's why I settled for a translation that could encompass both of those.
When a person was taken out to die, Dalad Misois Bezdin, it says they gave him a kois of a... they put inside a koireit shell something. They put inside some type of ingredient which caused him to become dull.
Right.
He should become dull.
Less
anesthesia. Or they gave him the ancient tranquilizer in order to dull his mind before they actually kill him. So you see over here, Rashi over here says, what does it mean the yayin hatareila? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, ha'oitim es aleif, which oitim closes the heart. The oitfoy means to wrap it up. Like a oiter yisrael b'sifara, it wraps. I think oiter raal l'shoyn atifa to wrap around hukmo v'habiroi shim hor olu. The b'roi shim, certain type of wood served as a, as a shelter, something like that. It means to wrap. What is that? That's the wood.
Cypresses are enwrapped.
Okay, that the brosim is the wood enwrapped. Uvloshen Mishnah, Madios Ruulois. What does that mean, Ramchal? Madios Ruulois?
Women shawled.
Ah, shawled. Okay, Ruulois, they're women from Modai that have been wrapped in a shmata around their head. What's it called? What's that word?
Hijab.
Hijab?
Yes.
Hijab, that's what the Muslim women wear?
That's one
head. A head covering. The hijab. So over here, it's exactly what the modiois, the ulois, these women, they're wrapped up, from Modai, they're wrapped up in these head shawls. Okay, so what do we learn over here? We learn over here is that the yayin tarela, it is something which is oitem halev, it causes the heart to be closed. It caused there to become dulled. Next pasuk, this is the famous pasuk, pasuk vav nasata.
They say by the goddess, if you take the wine out, nams by the extra wine, do not pour back into your place because it's a
poison.
The yayin
tarela. Yayin tarela, very interesting. The yarai.
And not only that, there's those that pour it down. You feed it to a non-Jew. Somebody wanted
to get rid of him. Only you eliminate.
And if you can't do that, it was brought down a maisa where he put it on his front doorstep in the house front
door. Chassidus HaMaislach over here. You're telling us some Chassidus HaMaislach over here.
That you pour out from Don Tardei
Akina. This is mystical stuff, okay. It's poison. How many things do you take out of your cup? What's the total number? No, but then there is Dam, V'esh, V'simr, Oshan, another three. Right, and what else? That's Sachadash Biachar, I think some also do, right? 16. 10 for the 10 makos, that's Sachadash Biachar, that's 3, and Dam, Vo'esh, V'simris Oshan. So it's a total of 16 drops that you take out of the kois, Shalyayin by the Seder. Nasata
Lire. Fill the cup before you make your next kois. If you put one more drop, you're allowed to drink it because then it becomes toiv.
Attention finger.
You lick your finger,
right? No. All these Newman hug him here. And another drop, lip your finger over here. And I is Shulchan Aruch. Morning. What?
It says that you have to get rid of the.
Yeah, but you don't drink that wine. That you don't pour it back inside.
No, it's very, very bad.
It's dangerous. That's what you just said.
Yeah.
It does. It's brought down. It's okay. It's brought down. Okay, let's go further. Next, let's go further over here in Rashi. Nasata li reyecha nes. Nisyoinois shel tsoros harbe. Rashi over here is learning the pasuk very different than the Mitzudos David. Whereas the Mitzudos David taught us, David is begging Hashem to give us a tool, a technique, the resources, the ability to raise ourselves back up high, to like a banner. Over here, the Rashi says, no, it means a nisoyon. Hashem has granted the Jewish people very great difficulties. That's why Rashi is sticking to the grammar. Nosata is in the past tense, and David is looking into the future. And in the future, he's looking back and he's seeing that Klal Yisrael is going to suffer very great difficulties, nisoyonos, in dealing with the problems. Nisoyonos shel tzoros. Harbe, lehisnoines, liyos minusim bohem, to be tested. The Jewish people are going to be tested. Im yamdu biyirasecha, if they will prevail in the fear of you. Mimnei koshet, and then he begs Hashem. Well, no, I'm sorry, let's see, mimnei koshet. Lekashet midoisecha bo'olam. Now, lekash, I think over here means to beautify. The word koshet is emes, that's how the Mitzvah Stavit translated this word, is emes. But it also in Aramaic means beauty. And the truth is they are two sides of the same coin. There is nothing more beautiful than the truth, than emes. Emes is the most beautiful thing. Lekashet mi doisecha bo'olam, in order to lekashet, to beautify your conduct in this world. She titein lochem hatoiva, when Hashem, this is a Rashi of an enormous hashkafa being presented, that when Hashem will ultimately, in the end of days, give the Jewish people reward and elevate them to the highest esteem, no person, no nation will be able to say, we don't deserve it. They will study history and they will say, you deserve it, because you were continuously loyal to Hashem in the greatest difficulties. In order to beautify your conduct in this world,
standards
is not, I don't know, I hear what you're saying, but let's see. When Hashem will ultimately give the Jewish people blessing, lo yehar haruhu umos acharecha, no one will be able to complain to Hashem. It's not fair. Ella yikashtu dinecha v'yoyimru. They will beautify, or they will be ma'ames, same thing, your ways, and they will declare, yofeh heitiv lohem, it is beautiful, it is correct, the blessing that you've given the Jewish people, ki heim omdu lo bekamo nisyoinois, because they were loyal to you, Hashem, in all of the tests that they endured during their long history.
On the other hand, you see the Gemara says that they said, the Goyim said, if you would give us a mitzvah also, like Sukkah, we will do it.
So, okay, so how does that play into this? I don't know, you have to think about it. No, that's in the future. That's in the future. That Hashem will say, give us, nidna lonu meroish, nidna lonu, give also test us. Fine, I'll test you. I'll give you one little mitzvah, mitzvah kala sukkah, and they're going to kick the door on the way out when it's too hot. So it's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. They're not going to complain. This Rashi over here is teaching this pasuk. David over here is going to get, let's review outside what we learned of this very, very powerful stuff. Go review outside. David, after the battle, every word of this Rashi over here is like, these Rashis are really amazing. They open up a world of commentary. But according to how Rashi learned Shah in the pasuk, there was a battle. There was a real battle in the time of David against Aram Naharaim, Aram Tzeva, and Edom joined the battle. Yoav went out, and Klal Yisrael was victorious. Now here's the Chiddush of Rashi. After the victory, this whole battle was for David a lesson. It was a source of a stepping stone for a prophecy for the future of the world. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just give David a prophecy? Everything is fine and good. David goes to sleep and he has a vision and he sees what's going to happen in the end of days, that Klal Yisrael is going to suffer under the hands of the Romans. And the Romans are going to bring upon Klal Yisrael great sorrows, battles and melchamos and all of these things, and Klal Yisrael is going to be tested and they're going to prevail. And after they prevail, Mashiach is going to come and Hashem is going to elevate Klal Yisrael, and it's going to, and the Ummah Yisrael are going to say, yeah, it's taka, they deserve. Why did David have to go through the battle in order to come to this revelation? Why couldn't David have this revelation during good times when he goes to sleep on his bed? Oh, he has a revelation of what's going to be. Obviously, we don't understand what Nevuah is. This whole mizma, the way Rashi learns, is sometimes a person has to experience something in life so that through that experience he'll be able to comprehend the prophecy that Hashem wants to show him. We think prophecy is, oh, you know, everything is fine and good, it's a wonderful day, beautiful day, and all of a sudden Hashem comes to you and tells you, oh, let me tell you what's going to be from now and 1,000 years from now. It doesn't work like that. We are thoroughly clueless to understand any of this type of thing. But obviously, the way Rashi learns, David had to go through a real life situation of dealing with wicked people, dealing with tsar, pain, death. And then when it was all over, that he had that real life experience, now, only now, is he going to experience the prophecy and through this battle to understand, guess what? The way what you just saw happen in front of you, this last tekufa, is a dogma of how it's going to play out ba'acharis hayamim. That's a very powerful lesson in and of itself. I mean, you go through Navi, every so often we gain a new insight. How does Nevuah work? There's no Nevuah today. Anyone that can tell you they know what Nevuah is, you know, they're out of their mind. We have no clue. We have no clue how these things work. Obviously, we needed there to be this in order to experience. And then what is the Nevuah? He says the most shocking things exactly of how Nevuah works. Firstly, he tells us that this specifically is referring to the Romeum, what Rome is going to do, the Gzeres Hashmad. Yes. And he tells us, what they're going to be very great. And what's the purpose of all the Nisyonos? This is an incredible insight. Where do you hear such a thing? The purpose of the Nisyonos is so that when ultimately Hashem is going to give Klal Yisrael what they deserve, the Ummah Yisraelim won't be able to complain. Now we almost get the impression that when Mashiach comes, there are no longer Ummah Yisraelim. They disappear. They're gone. Okay, Milchemes Gog and Magog. So there are a few survivors, right? We get the impression that I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. There are so many conflicting Mamari Chazal and Sukkim. What exactly is going to be? Who are the survivors? How is it all going to play out at the very end? Obviously, according to this Rashi, there's going to be a whole world out there, a whole world of Umay Soilam, and they're going to witness Klal Yisrael in their greatness, in their dominance. And some of them are going to start complaining. It's not fair. Why is Hashem bestowing upon them so much blessing? And Hashem is, and this Mizmor is telling us, according to Rashi, is everything that's happening, all the difficulties of having the Klal Yisrael is just so that Shelo yoimru hu umay soilam. It's amazing how many Mamori Chazal there are where you have these words, Shelo yoimru. Do something, Shelo yoimru. No one should go and make, and go, no one should ever say this about you. Who cares? Today we live in a world, you hear this again and again and again, over and over, wherever I go, is don't care what people think. You do what's the right thing to do. Yeah. Person hears about Shidduchim. You know, I really like this girl. I want to marry her. But you know, I heard this really a few times. I'm embarrassed to be seen with her in public. I heard this.
Why?
Because she's not pretty enough according to the standards of our society. She's not from a family that's chashuv. But I really like her. I really want to marry her. But you know, according to the standards of society, of shelo yoimru. So they tell him, don't, you're out of your mind.
Move to Chicago.
You're out of your mind. No, the Chicago will say the same thing. You do what's correct. You like her. She's a good girl. She's a Yiddish girl. She's a good person. Who cares? Who cares what people say? Yeah.
I like what you were saying now. We have this expression, learn lessons from the events which you are this. So David was able to learn a lesson.
Right.
Now his expression of these lessons happens to be a reward for us, because we find in the history events which fits his expression.
Of course.
It's the same like when once we had a little bit, you said about the codes in the Bible.
The Bible codes.
We can find there some expressions which fits to some historical events. And the question was, can we find a code which, you know, shows the future events? And the answer was no.
No,
we have no reward.
You can't look into the future.
You don't know what to look for.
You don't know what to look for. And it's not, the future is not defined. It's only in hindsight that you can look back. So the bottom line over here is, David over here is that this is very good. Shelo yomer. So people tell me, you're out of your mind. You do what's good for you. Get a job. This job, you know, I like this job. But you know, the people, they look in society, it's not a chosh of a job. Who cares? Who cares? You do what the right thing is. You do what's good for you. You hear this, oh, do they get paid? Oh, do they get paid well? Plumbers, I'm not a plumber. Boy, do they get paid. Highway robbery. But yet, when you look in Chazal, there's literally an obsession, shelo yomru. I'll give you a very simple example. You come into shul, and they're up to Shema. What is the halacha? You mechuyev to cover your eyes when they're saying Shema. I'm not up to Shema. I'm the Baruch Shalom. I came late. You have to cover your eyes. Why? Why do you have to? It's a Shulchan Aruch.
Shulayamu.
No one should say that you're not being Mekabel Shem. I guarantee you, no one is looking at you. I guarantee you, no one is looking at you. And if anyone happens to be looking at you, no one's going to say that you're not being Mekabel Malach Shem. The fact that you're in Shul over here and you're not embarrassed to come late and to go daven like a mensch, goes, they're not. So yeah, that's the halacha. If you walk in the shul, they're saying you're supposed to.
What you're saying is shelo yoimru is part of halacha now.
That's exactly the way I'm saying. It's a stira. There are.
Maybe that shelo yoimru is on yourself.
That's what I always like to say. But yet, all over, we learn many, many times in Chazal and in halacha, there is a very heavy emphasis of shelo yoimru. This whole Chazal. in the end of days, I was. Who cares about the goyim? Care about us? They care about us throughout the last 2,000 years. They murdered. They killed us. They hate us. They have no regard for us. Zero, zero, zero. And the moment you think that they're your friend and they're good, they spit you and they stab you in the back. Okay, look what they do in the media to Klal Yisrael. They couldn't care less. All the good, every time you try to be nice to them, the end is they just stab you in the back. So we care about them. At the end of days, Hashem will bring Mashiach, and Klal Yisrael will dominate. They'll be elevated. All of a sudden, we care what they're going to say. And because we care what they're going to say, Mimela, throughout the last 2,000 years, Hashem is continuously testing us, challenging us, and we prevail, and that goes on the record, and that's going to be Shelo Yomru. Who cares what they say? You really care? Every psychologist will tell their patient, B'li Yoitzim in Aklal, don't care what people say. You do what's good for you. You do, of course, you have to be, the certain balance, but obviously 90% is you have to take care of yourself. You have to be functional in a healthy way. And if what people are going to say is getting in your way, who cares? And get it out of your head what people are going to say, because no one really cares anyway. They care about themselves. They're thinking about themselves, not thinking about you the whole day. There are four stages in life. I always tell you this. The first stage in life when you're very young is, I'm afraid of what are they going to say. Then you get a little bit old, you become rebellious. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do whatever. I don't care what they think. Then you come to real stage number 3 or 4 is, guess what? They're not thinking about me. And then you come to stage 4. Guess what? They don't think, period. It's not just they're not thinking about me. They're not thinking. There's no brain activity altogether up there. The 4 stages. Yet, it's over and over again in Chazal, Shelo Yoimru. So we're missing the boat. We have to find that balance of where we say Shelo Yoimru. I was learning recently the laws in Mishnah Berurah about, again, it came out, it was mind-boggling about Tashlumin. There's such complicated halachas. Yeah. If you forget to daven, you're in oynis. You're not able to daven a shachris, mincha, ma'arif. So you have to be mashlam. You daven a double shmona esher the next time around. I thought it was a simple halacha. You can summarize in 2 sentences. Whole simon with such complicated rules and details. And a lot of the details focus on shelo yomru. You daven 2 shmona esres and people are seeing you daven shelo yomru. I'm like, what? Shelo yomru, who's looking? Who's looking? Who cares? It's an amazing concept which appears in Allah. Obviously, Chazal very much did concern themselves with this. Maybe we're living in such a different world of reality today. We're so undisciplined and we're so separate.
Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem,
Shalom. Exactly, that's part of the apostle. Right, exactly. Exactly, hit the nail on the head. Moshe said to Hashem in his defense, that how could you do this? Lomo Yomu Mitzrayim, ki bira'oh ho'itzayam Mitzrayim. Hashem would have the koyach to take them into Mitzrayim. We care about the Umay So'ilam. We care about them. Since when do they care about us? What's going on over here? Okay, this concludes Rashi. Rashi is gold. Okay, we're out of time, but tomorrow, Mi'at Hashem, we're going to do the Chaim HaSanach. The Chaim HaSanach, he takes everything we have just learned, and he says this entire story refers to the Purim miracle. And because it says Shushan Abir, and he reads everything until the word Sela as a direct reference to the details of the Purim story. Okay, we'll take a short break. Of who?
I'm not going to be able to do that.
It's an institution within an institution.
Yeah.
But the thing is, because
they're
extreme left, so it's like a comfort for the people who embrace that ideology.
Okay, those on your side are both observant.
You know what?
They all escape.
Right wing.
Yes.
But the Supreme Court does not reflect
their self-sustainability.
No, they're changing.
They used to recommend this.
Because all the people saw it. If it was working against that, then of course they'll be on the other side. We'll now sit where I stand.
Right.
That's always the way it is.
No,
the Democrats, the same thing. It's all the one you believe in. I don't know. Whatever the opposite of that. That's the way politics is.
Before the war, against the war, responsibility. I used to be for
everything.
I was the youngest. I remember my father was from that hotel. They used to buy cigars. So people did, you know, because
of the
waiters were told, the guy was just looking for something in the kitchen. So the waiters were told, take all and don't throw it away, put it together. Give it to the guy over there.
The starving.
But these guys, two guys,
racists.
No way.
The Jews are racists. They're killing you.
They knew each other.
So they're really four. I don't appreciate that. Really four partial
objects.
One of them stayed in front.
Moshe Darshan, their lives overlapped.
One guy went into
he was more than the Rashi. He was the big cheese in the time of Rashi when he was younger. So he really has changes. He started the whole French movement. He's credited with beginning in France, the Yiddishkeit, so to speak. He was credited there I don't know. You know, you take a look. You know, people say Shakespeare. I say, could you even compare it?
So he came back and said,
to all these people who wrote, even they wrote.
And they sent him to speak to who was the Supreme Court member?
It's incredible. Right?
Yeah, Frankfurt says, "I can't believe you. I can't believe you." He was
your mind has got to be these people. It's staggering what they wrote.
He walked into the
Capitol. Think about it.
Went around, took pictures.
Even the apartment.
Traveled
all over. Take a look at the apartment. He wrote evidence. Everything that he wrote in a very short space of time. And he said, each time he finished his segment, he says how long it took him to do it. Yeshua Shoftim, he did it in like 6 weeks. Yeshua was, Shoftim was a month, Shoftim was 2 weeks, he just did. The longest was by Yifra. He said, he didn't understand that. He didn't understand this. He couldn't write until he finished the bar. Then he started to ruminate. But he had it until he was late or older man. He didn't have time. He was busy running a lunch.
The chemist was in Canada. And the other one, Villa Roma.
How are you doing?
Villa Roma was his favorite place up in the Catskills. Right? Right. 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 Cardinal Spell. Yeah.
Where's place?
That was his West favorite resort.
He found it
there?
I know
where
the bottom
place is. Yeah, it was. I mean, all the big Catholic things, that's where he used to go.
Well, we have a place in
Ireland. He said,
you're in Yom Kippur?
Yeah, for sure.
He said,
they used to advertise it.
It's very nice. I want to tell you.
They advertise
it. National teeth over there.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, that's terrific. Okay. Very nice.
It's like a question.
You want on a diet? What very much fun.
I want to tell you something.
I can't believe that you're
so good.
I'm
just watching when I eat. Staying
home for 5 seconds. Not kosher,
it's in the Zuzas
in
3 hours.
They're already
in
the
place.
It's so sad.
His name was
Walt. Rudy and Barry.
The miser Barfoff, he closes space. He doesn't make a store pace. That's the case. All his work is, most of the work is going to a hotel someplace. So he goes away. This year he's going, I asked him where he's going for pace up this year. He's going to a program in Spain.
What's this?
Meisner.
Where's
Meisner
go?
Well,
we're
not.
You know why? His hotel was the Kamenash Grab.
His
hotel.
He like manager. The horses.
Well, the wife is always fighting weight. She's standing here. She's 10 pounds.
Yeah, right. But this is the other Kamenash
Grab. You eat whatever you want. It's nature also. It's nature too. I don't have that problem.
Not always. This guy,
over there in Florida, here, I don't do it.
You gotta do it. It's very important.
I just learned. That's pretty good.
Okay, let's learn. We're learning today about the sugya of Birchas Ilanos. Birchas